to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 22nd, 2019, by Eric Williams.
The challenges for us as Christians living in the 21st century is that the stories that Jesus told 2,000 years ago sometimes were meant, I think, to be taken with humor, and it's very hard to understand a 2,000-year-old joke. We tend to miss the context. I was at a Bible study this week, and one of the priests there had a wonderful description of the economy of first century Galilee, and I knew really nothing about this, and it really made the story come alive for me. What's going on in this parable, this really weird parable that Jesus tells about a dishonest manager? Don't you love that? Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth. I bet you've never thought about Jesus saying that, have you? It's not something that we kind of put on the top 10 sayings of Jesus. Love God, love your neighbor, and swindle everyone you can. No, that's not typically what we think of. Well, this manager was working for an absentee landlord, probably someone in Jerusalem, someone who owned a lot of property in Galilee, and he leased it out to tenant farmers. Now, the tenant farmers were poor. They lived in Galilee. They didn't have a lot of wealth. They didn't own any property. But they would lease this property, and they would farm it. And part of it they would farm for food for their family, and the rest they would farm for the landowner, and they would grow whatever the landowner wanted. In this case, he wanted olive oil, because you could sell olive oil in Jerusalem for a lot of money. That was the cash crop. And also wheat. The poor people in Galilee didn't eat wheat. They ate barley. Remember the five barley loaves from the feeding of the 5,000? Barley was the cheap stuff that the peasants ate. Wheat was the expensive stuff that you sold to the rich people in Jerusalem. So this manager is supposed to extract as much money from these tenant farmers as he can for the landowner in Jerusalem. But the problem is he's not a good enough manager. He's not squeezing enough money out of these poor people, and so the landowner fires him. And he decides, what am I going to do? I live with these people. I've been extracting money from them for years. What am I going to do? I have no other marketable skills. And so he comes up with this really ingenious, corrupt idea that he's going to forgive the tenant farmers what they owe the landowner. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about dishonest wealth this week. I was listening to a podcast, an interview with a guy that I first encountered in a movie. I don't know if you ever saw the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio called Catch Me If You Can. You ever see that movie? Leonardo DiCaprio plays a real-life person named Frank Abagnale. Frank was this fascinating guy. When he was 16, his parents went through a divorce, and he ran away from home. And to support himself, he became the most ingenious swindler in probably the history of our country. He learned how to kite checks. He figured out that he could buy a machine and imprint his own bank account on the teller slips that you pick up at the bank, the generic ones. And so everybody who went into the bank and deposited was depositing into his account. Pretty shrewd for a 16-year-old. He impersonated for years a pilot. He dressed up in the uniform. He never actually flew a plane, but he always got the free jump seat in the plane. He always went on different airlines and pretended to be this airline pilot. He impersonated a physician for years as well. He dated and almost married the daughter of the attorney general of, I can't remember which state, and without ever finishing high school or ever going to college, was able to pass the bar. Just a fascinating guy. Well, eventually, his life of crime was discovered. He said, you can fool the police for a while, but eventually it's going to catch up with you, and it did. And he found himself in a French prison and eventually was extradited to the United States and was imprisoned. And because he was such an ingenious forger, the FBI hired him as a consultant. They said, we'll shorten your prison term. Essentially, you can serve out your parole working for us in the FBI. And so he's worked for the FBI now for 40 years and talking about his life of crime from 16 to 21, and then more talking about how his life changed once he went to work for the FBI. I was thinking about this guy, and he's just written a new book that will help you prevent being scammed. We all might want to read that book because he really does know. But I was thinking about how he used his wits and intelligence to make friends for himself by means of dishonest wealth for those years between 16 and 21. And then hearing his story, what turned things around for him? What made the difference in his life? And a couple things happened. One is, when you're sitting in a French prison, life becomes a lot clearer to you. You sort of see black and white pretty differently. And the other thing is, he said when he got hired by the FBI, it wasn't that he had this great conversion experience and had seen the light and was suddenly a new person and was virtuous. He said he just saw it as a way out of prison. But year after year, as he worked with these agents, year after year, as he saw their dedication and their devotion and their patriotism and their hard work, that kind of rubbed off on him. He admired those agents, and he wanted to be respected by them, and so he changed his life. And then finally, and most importantly, he said, meeting his wife on an assignment with the FBI, and being married to her and her trust in him really changed him from the inside over time. And so now he looks at his life and he says, those 5 years from 16 to 21 were interesting, and of course they made a movie about it, but he said the real story of his life has been learning to put his energy into more positive and productive efforts. Jesus told this parable today about the dishonest manager, I think to make everybody laugh, because everybody in Galilee knew a guy like that. They knew a manager who was squeezing them for money, and they saw them as the worst of the worst. They were fellow Jews, Galileans like themselves, who were working for the man, who were their enemy from within. And Jesus says, you should be more like that guy. And they would have laughed uproariously. What did Jesus mean? I think Jesus meant that what if we put the same energy and dedication into the kingdom of God that we put into making a quick buck? What if the children of light were as industrious as the children of darkness? What if we turned our attention from the stuff that doesn't matter to the stuff that matters eternally? I've often thought of this, and I'm sure those of you who are in law enforcement wondered this. You know, the people that you deal with who are criminals, what if they had taken that same zeal and energy that they put into crime, into coming up with these schemes, what if they had put that into a more productive life? I think that's the message Jesus is trying to give us and his hearers in this parable. We all know people who put so much energy into stuff that doesn't matter. And if we're honest, if we look at our lives, how much time and energy and money have we wasted on things which in the end didn't matter at all? What does matter is living a life that is pleasing to God, investing ourselves, our lives, our energy, our time, our money into the relationships with God and our neighbor and our families, those relationships that are life-giving. It's a question that we wrestled with this weekend on our vestry retreat. We've spent so much time looking inward over the past few years because we've had to. We had to fix the front porch. We had to put a lot of time into kind of getting our house more in order. But we feel a call also as leaders of this church to put our energy into the things that really matter, the reason that we're here. We're not here, as one of our vestries said, just to have a nice building. We're here to serve God and God's people in the community. And the more we're able to put our energy into that, the more our lives will be transformed. Hopefully, like that dishonest manager in the gospel story, and certainly like Frank Abagnale, the former swindler turned FBI consultant, and whose life was turned around. May we experience that transforming grace by focusing our energy and our lives on God and God's kingdom.